For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
From the WEEI studios, 93.7 WEEI FM and HD1, Lawrence, Boston, and Odyssey Sports Station.
Slayton's not
still warming. There's a drive to left field by Rafaela, high and deep, and you can forget about this one. Long gone. Deep into the left field seats, and it's 2-0 Red Sox. Was that ever crushed? He sneak attacks, first ball swinging, and Rafaela with his second home run of the series really crushed that one. 412 feet at 106 miles an hour.
Lean on me. This was a first pitch cutter. That Seidan was all over. Oh, he absolutely crushed this ball.
Another fun player the Red Sox have. Defense, power, runs the bases. Still not hitting enough for my taste. You know, meaning like his overall numbers. You can't be a 240-something hitter. You know, I can't say out one end of my mouth, I can't watch Jackie Bradley. And then out the other, say I love this kid. But he's starting to hit. And if he continues on this path and he's not just hot like Bradley would get, you might have something. And the Red Sox have already paid him and locked him up long term. And maybe that's evidence of a youth movement, if you will, locking up some of these homegrown players. And maybe that is the direction for the Red Sox. It's hour number two here on Jones and Mego. No Arcan today on WEEI. We'll get to the Celtics sale coming up later this hour. We'll get to Jeremy Swayman and the Bruins. Not going to arbitration. Text line already asking 37937. Why is no one talking about Swayman? Does nobody know what's going on? Good question. I don't have a great read on that. We'll give you our thoughts, our best read into it, coming up later on. We'll also get into who could potentially buy the Celtics. I don't think John Henry's going to be one of them. We've talked today about how far this Red Sox team can go. It's our big question of the day up now. At Jones and Mego on Twitter. World Series is how I voted. Mego has him in the DS, but that's movement for Mego. That's getting to the postseason.
It's progress.
Still about 20% are saying they aren't going anywhere. They won't make the playoffs. I'm surprised that number's that high.
I'm not.
Why?
I mean, because I think that people are conditioned, fans are conditioned from the last couple seasons of seeing the deadline fall off, of seeing them reach the deadline and the team doesn't feel like they add enough. Maybe Cora doesn't feel like ownership or Bloom or Breslow, whoever's in that spot, adds enough. And then there's just like this massive depression that sweeps through the clubhouse and they just collapse. I understand that 20% of people would say like, yeah, I've seen this before. They always play well this time of year. And then they fall off because they don't get anything more and they don't feel like they're going anywhere.
Doesn't this time feel different, though? Like, doesn't it feel different? They have young, homegrown players that aren't, like, last year felt like such a patchwork team. This year feels different to me. Like, I do think this team has more talent than last year or the year prior. I mean,
well,
that's how it feels to me.
The differences to me are your pitching's better.
I take that back. Maybe not 2 years ago, but this team feels like it has more young, reliable talent.
You don't have like a big scarecrow hanging over your whole team with his contract and Chris Sale.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think that the youth helps. The way the brand of baseball that they're playing helps. It's very energetic. It's athletic. They have a real identity. I think the only thing that might be weird that's hanging over it that could be a distraction, even though it hasn't so far, is like, okay, if they don't add anything at the deadline, and you have Alex Cora in this lame duck year. And then does everything kind of fall apart in a couple weeks when it goes, wow, we're really just like rowing with one oar going in circles again because they're not investing in anything besides a couple of really young guys who are just going to be here throughout whatever this rebuild or whatever process is.
So I want to get to Cora in a moment because I think there's now been quite a groundswell of people calling for, and it's not just local beat writers who like cover the team. There's a national groundswell for this as well. We played Ken Rosenthal a week or so ago.
Eduardo Perez last night on the broadcast
was
all over that too.
That is someone who's biased, yeah. Right? Like that's his former coworker at ESPN. Like they're all totally biased. And look, a lot of the beat writers, you have to wonder, they're with the manager every day. They're going to call for him to be extended. But, you know, even Rosenthal caught my eye. And so I want to get to that in a moment. Just real quick. You mentioned some of the talent. You mentioned Chris Sale. 37937. Wouldn't it be nice if Sale was taking the ball every 5 days? Do you have any remorse over trading Sale?
No.
Me neither.
I don't.
Me neither. I don't think he'd pitch this way if you were here.
There was way too much here. Like, there was just way too much baggage. And I'm happy that he's healthy and that he's pitching really well. Like, genuinely. Good for him. You know, I think he meant the best here. But there was something with him here where he just couldn't ride a bicycle through Brighton without ruining the season.
I don't think he would have pitched this way if he were here. He wouldn't put in the work. He wasn't motivated to put in the work the same way, and so he's motivated now. What'd you just tell me in my ear? He's minus 600 to be comeback player of the year?
In the National League, he's a lock, yeah.
And he's getting like Cy Young votes. He's an all-star. Like, he's pitching phenomenally well. I think part of getting rid of him helped guys like Hauk take a little more ownership, Cutter Crawford take a little more ownership
in the rotation.
Oh, so you're
calling this the Marcus Smart equation.
A little bit, and I don't think Sale would have done this here. There's no way. And I'm not saying he would have been hurt. I don't think he's I think him getting traded motivated him.
There's too much stuff here with him. Like, there's just too much.
Agreed.
You had to move on. You needed to clean slate it for both sides.
So, like, if you could get these numbers in Boston this year, well, then, of course, you'd want it. Like, duh. If he's pitching the same way he's pitching in Atlanta, you would want him. And I'm just scrambling here to pull up the numbers real quick. Chris Sale is 11-3 with a 2.71 ERA, 0.91 whip. He has how many strikeouts? 127 strikeouts in 99 innings. Like, vintage Sale. Of course, if you would get those numbers here, you'd want that. I don't think you'd get those numbers here. I'm happy they moved on. I think it was the right time
to move on. It's not even like the same amount of pressure that's on him. He's going to an outstanding team.
Exactly.
That's true.
Exactly.
And, you know, it's like, oh, so what if I have a bad game? I got Matt Olson. I know Acuna's hurt, but Austin Riley, Marcelo Ozuna, I got these killers out there that are just going to rake and put up six runs in an inning. He's not even, like, on paper the best pitcher on his team. He's coming in with Charlie Morton, and Ronaldo Lopez is having a nice year, and
another
Max
all-star,
Fried.
Yeah.
Like, I just think it's so completely different from him, as opposed to like every fifth day as a Boston Red Sox, I have to be perfect or we are not winning this game.
So on Alex Cora, text 37937. Guys, Cora probably told them, meaning the players, he's gone after the year, so let's flip him the bird and win it all. I don't know if that's what's going on, but I have noticed a groundswell of support for Alex Cora. We talked about this last week, Mego. Like, there's another way ownership can show investment in the team beyond making trades at the deadline and adding payroll. They can just pay the manager.
Yeah, and it's not going to happen during the season. Cora has made that clear.
Yeah, but
I think it's more in Cora's terms than the team's terms. You think they're going to come to him and be like, guess what? We decided, just out of the goodness of our hearts, while we're not adding to payroll most likely in a couple weeks, we're going to toss you $5 million a year, and that's going to be something for you to say no to.
Okay, if they did, I think he's listened. Like, we asked him this directly. I said, everybody's got a number. If they came to you with your number, would you take it? He said no. I just don't believe that. He didn't want to answer that. That's fine. He doesn't have to answer it. But I don't believe that. If they came to him at his number, whatever that is, 5-6, is it Craig Council money at 8? If they came to him, he would take it. And so that's what I think. And
yeah, but what if he's saying, don't even come to me right now? Like, do you buy that?
I don't. I think if they gave him his number, I still think, where are you going to go that's better than here? Everyone says the Dodgers. Okay, everyone says that. What if the Dodgers win the World Series? Like, this is my counter to that. What if Dave Roberts wins the World Series? They're not going to fire him, I don't think.
Right.
I guess they could. The Capitals fired Barry Trotz after he won a cup. Like, I guess you could do that.
Okay, what about the Phillies, possibly? What about the Yankees?
Okay.
Boone looks like a clown right now.
Sure. Boone seems to survive
and
all the time.
And then you flip the bird twice, double bird.
Why are the Phillies firing their manager? They have the best record in baseball.
Just
so
because,
like,
they haven't won it yet.
Okay, fine. But they were in the World Series, what was it, 2 years ago? They have the best record in baseball. So, like, maybe they fire him. I mean, anything can happen. But, like, realistically, Yankees is a good one. realistically, where is he going to go that's better? If they come to him with his number, I still think he'd take it because there's not a lot of jobs like this in baseball. Even with Henry not invested, they're still, whatever, 11th or 12th in payroll. That's not great. That's embarrassing for them. But that's still better than most of the other jobs. It is.
I agree. I just wonder then if it's kind of like what we were just talking about with Sale, though. Like, you say everybody has a number. At some point, people walk away from the number too, especially if you can go somewhere and get a number that's comparable and you feel like your career is actually going somewhere with them. Like, there is a piece to this that I've had a little movement on, which is I wasn't sure that Cora wanted to manage young players. I wasn't sure that he wanted to develop guys because we've really only seen him have huge success with stars.
It's true.
And bringing in stars and paying that way. But it seems like he's actually really enjoying himself with this young team. So maybe there's something there, if anything, where he understands the roadmap that they have. He understands that they're going to add payroll in the offseason in a real way. And he'll go, okay, for these reasons, I want to stay on. But if it's just going as is right now and it's just like waiting for the prospects for another season and waiting for them to come through, then I don't think that he'd want to stay here.
This was Pete Abraham's point about the prospects, like he'd actually be a good manager for them, it seems, which I'm with you.
I
didn't think he would be good for a youth movement, but he has been. 617-779-7937. You can jump in on that. I just want to play this quickly. This is Cora from last week. We asked, and it proved to be very relevant based on Buster Olney's comments last night on Sunday Night Baseball. Alex Cora, how do you feel about the playoff odds, which get cited over and over and over again? Again, this is Cora from last week.
Sometimes I run into them, but I'm not a big fan.
Why not? Why aren't you a fan of baseball odds versus the standings? Why not?
I don't know. I mean, the Rangers were in the World Series last year. The D-backs were in the World Series. The Nationals in 2019 made it to the World Series. So there's something about the season that dictates who's going to make it, who's not, right? And you know, I understand what the odds means, but in my case, man, I like looking at the standings. Well, not all the time because the last few years it's been tough to look at that standing in the Green Monster. But you know my point. You know, I think there's something about the season that dictates who you are and what you can do as a group. And I like looking at the standings.
Okay. I think most of us do. If you look at the standings, they are in a playoff spot. They've been in and out of a playoff spot the last couple of weeks. And even if you look at the advanced odds, the playoff odds, Fangraphs, Baseball Reference, it's about a coin flip they make the postseason. And you can manipulate those numbers by adding. So John Henry invests in your team. Then John Henry has these comments to Michael Silverman over the weekend in the Boston Globe. Henry spoke at length and in detail about why and how FSG got into the business with the PGA Tour. Okay? Which has a tie-in with Wick, who we're going to talk about here coming up. When it came to speaking about the Red Sox, Henry declined. Wouldn't even talk about them. When asked why, he said the reason being how many people speak almost every day about the Red Sox. You don't need me. And then declined to elaborate.
So he's going to let us speak for him.
Correct.
That's a strategy. See how much success that gets you with your PR.
He won't even talk about his baseball team.
Just when they think they have the answers, I don't answer the questions.
So, like, I mean, that is just, that's not a great sign. That is not a great sign. When it comes to investing in this baseball team, he won't even talk about them to Michael Silverman in his newspaper.
The baseball team that shall not be named.
Makes me want to take my pink hat off, Mego, is what it makes me want to do. 617-779-7937.
Why does that sound like a gross euphemism?
We'll get to all your feedback here. I wouldn't Google that. Don't DuckDuckGo that on a work computer. We'll get to all your feedback here. 617-779-7937. You can still vote in the big question of the day up now at Jones and Mego. We'll get to Wick and something Dan Shaughnessy wrote late last week. Mego, I know you talked about it on Friday. I have some thoughts on Wick's level of ownership with this team, who's actually driving the sale, how it relates to the Red Sox, John Henry, any potential interest there. We'll do all that right after Trending with Ryan Garvin.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
The critics have spoken.
It's as if you took a float from a Macy's Day Parade and you beheaded them, and it's two clowns.
Jones and Mako.
One looks extremely upset, and the other one looks intrigued.
On WEEI.
That thing kind of threw me. I don't know why that statement was necessary. And it, as you say, the way it ends is like throws it wide open. Like, wait, what? Because my informal, you know, limited reporting tells me that John doesn't want to be part of anything where you're paying rent to the Boston Bruins. And that's the Celtic thing. That is not a John Henry thing. He's the alpha dog. Got to have the whole show. He doesn't roll that way. Not to mention, Tom, that there are tremendous luxury tax payments due rolling forward. The Celtics are locked in for all this luxury tax money. He hates that. He can't sleep at night with that stuff. So I don't know that he's a candidate for this, but the statement makes your head explode.
Dan Shaughnessy on, I think it was Early Edition late last week, a story that Mego talked about on Friday while I was out. I got some thoughts on Wick, the sale. He's talking specifically there about John Henry's interest in buying the Celtics.
He doesn't roll that way.
What'd you say, Mego?
Henry don't play that.
Henry don't play that way.
He doesn't roll that way.
It's good to see Dan back. Side thought, side note, it's good to see Dan back on TV. And good stuff covering this story as well. He's referencing a statement that Fenway Sports Group put out. He says, "We commend Wick Grosbeck, his family, and their partners for their remarkable stewardship of the Boston Celtics, an organization that means so much to the city of Boston and countless fans across New England and the globe." Lowercase g.
Mm.
"Under their leadership, the Celtics have been a part of the city's remarkable golden age of sports, marked not only by championship success on the court, but also through their exemplary community engagement. We greatly admire and respect the Celtics organization, its players, and its amazing fans, but have no comment on the forthcoming bidding process."
Longest no comment ever.
It's a long no comment. That's true. I mean, look, all the signs on the surface, we cut Tomasi out of that clip, but Tomasi. Agreed with Shaughnessy. Apologies, John. He agreed with Shaughnessy, and he's like, look, John Henry doesn't want to pay any luxury tax bill in Major League Baseball. He would complain about $9, $10, $15 million luxury tax bills, whatever they were way back when, and now he's going to pay hundreds of millions of dollars, and he's going to rent from Jeremy Jacobs? Not his style. And so everything we hear on the surface, Mego, we talked to Mannix about it the day the sale came out. He said he hadn't heard anything on John Henry. Shaughnessy, obviously, plugged in. Tomasi, plugged in. Yeah, it doesn't sound like something John Henry would be interested in. Until I hear they're officially out and they're not interested, I know they want an NBA team. Until I hear they're officially out, that still scares me.
Am I stupid for focusing on the bidding? What is it? The bidding process?
Have no comment on the forthcoming bidding process. Yeah. I mean, I think that's telling that they're not going to comment on it. It's like, well, why won't you comment on it?
Yeah.
And so who asked you to comment?
Also, when is this bidding process? How is this working? Who's involved? You seem to already know about it. Like, oh, I'm not going to comment on this bidding war that's about to get underway. No, I like mostly agree. I don't think that Henry or Kraft are seriously going to be involved. And I'll just throw Kraft in there as well, because he's somebody who's talked about it. And I think Jacobs's name, that family's name, is only in it because of the building and what they would lose if an outside buyer came in and built somewhere that would not only compete with them by taking their tenant away, but also being another concert venue, another event venue for all this stuff. It's another layer of competition. But the way Tomasi said it, that we cut out of that clip, frankly, because he talks too much, is that he said that it would be like having four Mookie Betts deals. And John Henry's brain would just explode at that idea, which I get. Like, think of the other stuff that Henry's involved in. Now, the PGA is one thing, but, like, a hockey team does not have the payroll of an NBA team. I don't really know the financials of Liverpool. I can't imagine that they're up there with the Celtics' payroll. If anything, like, this would be, I think, the least realistic time that with John Henry's appetite for spending, he would look at this roster and go, like, oh, yeah, I love Boston fans. They were so excited when I dumped Mookie Betts. So I'm going to dump three of these and just keep Jason Tatum and build around that. Like, I don't really think it makes sense.
Okay. You mentioned Kraft, who also has a portfolio. I mean, it's not as sizable in professional sports as John Henry's and the Fenway Sports Group, but it's something. This is new from the Globe today. The Mass Senate is expected to pass a proposal on Thursday that would enable the Kraft Group to build a Revolution Soccer Stadium in Everett at the site right across from the Encore. The Senate included the measure in a 124-page economic development bill it released on Monday, and then it gets into the details. And so, you know, maybe there's some movement there. If they're eyeballing a stadium, I guess you could read that one of two ways. We know they've been eyeballing a soccer-only stadium. I guess there's two ways to look at that. Number one, well, they're invested in this, and are they going to invest in this and buy a basketball team? Although, when you think back to what Chris Mannix told us a week ago today, when the news came out that Wick and or his father, which we'll get to, were selling the Celtics, or their share in the Celtics anyway, Mannix immediately said that we'll keep an eye on a casino magnate.
He was told somebody tapped him on the shoulder.
Metaphorically.
Said, yes.
A metaphorical tap on the shoulder. And yeah, so that's the site that Mannix mentioned for a new NBA arena, a new Celtics arena potentially. So maybe there's a tie-in. But my sense is, my hope really is that neither Kraft or Henry are in. I don't want either one in.
No.
And I lump them together. I don't want either one in.
Look, isn't what most Celtics fans want is to basically have status quo? And so I think most Celtics fans who are following this would look at Steve Pagliuca and say, hopefully he just takes over whatever the Grosbeck's shares are, which is becoming very murky. But he takes those shares over, and maybe he needs some private wealth management group or something. Somebody else comes in and takes over a minority portion of that. But I think that that's fingers crossed. What everybody's hoping for is that it just stays status quo. And not only that, but then that the deals that you signed with Derek White, with Jason Tatum, were signed with Pagliuca there knowing that he's going to be the guy basically running the show and saying, like, yeah, I'm signing off on this because I want to continue investing in the team, even though it's a crazy bloated roster going forward.
Yeah, I don't have high hopes that Pags is going to win the bidding. I don't. And so, you know, a lot of people
don't think anything's like predetermined?
No, I don't. And
that's where bidding process got me worried.
We'll get to, I see what you're saying. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I don't, why would they have the Celtics for 20 plus years? They're super valuable. The brand is, you know, one of the few really strong brands in professional sports, like Dallas Cowboys, New York Yankees, LA Lakers, Boston Celtics. Like, it's one of those. And so
I'd say it's slightly under.
Okay, fine. But it's like, it's that type of
no
organization.
No disrespect.
Fine.
But the Cowboys are very annoyingly large.
Okay, but it's a strong brand.
Yeah.
And it's one of the most valuable in the NBA. If you don't want to cross sports, it's one of the most valuable in the NBA. And so they're just going to hand it over to Pags at like some discount? No, I don't believe that. And bidding process, I see what you're saying now. And so I don't have a high degree of faith Pags is going to win. He couldn't beat out Irv and Wick Grosbeck to buy the team in the first place. Now he's going to do it when he's up against maybe Bezos or Larry Ellison or like people who are worth hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars. He's going to outbid those guys now? I don't see that. Never mind the Saudis or somebody like that. So I'll get to some details here from Shaughnessy. This is from Friday. I know a lot of people were out of town. I know, Mego, you already talked about this. In case you missed this story, this is Shaughnessy's reporting on Friday. He says, saying goodbye to the Grosbecks, plural, is not appealing. They've been good owners. In conversations with some sources close to the situation, I've come away convinced the soon-to-be 90-year-old H. Irving Grosbeck is the one driving this sale, and his 63-year-old son, Wick, one of four children of Irv Grosbeck,
managing partner, governor, and CEO of the Celtics, and always identified as the team's owner, actually owns a relatively small stake in the franchise. H. Irving Grosbeck, still teaching at Stanford Business School, has been the money behind the group since the beginning, and there's every indication that the billionaire, Forbes lists Irv Grosbeck and the family's worth at almost $2 billion, $1.8, rarely seen at Celtics games, is motivating this sale in an attempt to get his affairs in order, which does align with the initial statement, Mego,
right,
that there's estate planning going on, right? And so even though Axios had a report and that he's interested in his tequila brand, meaning Wick, and television, and there was another report, I'm blanking on where that came from, that he needs liquid cash for the PGA Tour. I think it was Sports Business Journal.
I thought that was Axios.
Whatever.
Whatever. It's one of those business reporters.
But fine. There have been reports that Wick actually had some motivations to be more liquid to invest in other things. Shaughnessy says it's Irv Grosbeck, Wick's dad, 90 years old. He made his fortune as co-founder, and we've talked about this, of Continental Cablevision, and is no doubt interested in ongoing negotiations for the NBA's media rights. A 9-year deal is set to expire at the end of next season, and the new deal reportedly close to $76 billion. We keep reading that number. That's unbelievable.
Doesn't sound real.
Will have considerable impact on franchise values. I emailed the elder Grosbeck late Wednesday requesting comment on my assertions, and he responded Thursday with a polite no comment. Not as long as the FSG no comment. No comment. When I texted with Wick, this is Orlovsky and Mac all over again. They're text buddies.
When I Snapchatted Wick.
When I chat rouletted Wick.
I sent him a little doggy face with the tongue out.
When I texted with Wick, I said, "Huh, you okay if you say your personal stake in the team is less than 2%?
Now imagine that with the doggy face.
He answered, "We hold as a family all unified. Dot, dot, dot. We are a family. Cue the music. And I also have a Celtics family," is my comment. Thanks.
And I got all my sisters with me.
So, Wick owns less than 2% of the Celtics?
Take those 2% shares.
So what's actually for sale? Like, this is what I'm starting to want. Is it all of the Grosbecks? Is it just Wick's portion? Is it just Irv's portion? Does Wick want to stay on? Does Wick want to buy out his dad? Does Wick have enough money to buy out his dad? Like, is he going to stay on as governor if Pags takes over the team? Why would Pags be comfortable with that setup if he now owns more shares than Wick? Although, I guess, talking it out, he's always owned more shares than Wick, not more than the Grosbecks, but owned more. More details from Shaughnessy coming up, but your thoughts on that?
It's very strange. So, like, I think it does clear some stuff up. I do believe, okay, at least some part of this is estate planning. Is the old man saying, like, I'm getting all this in order. And it probably is something that's been going on for months with attorneys and private wealth people and money managers, all of that. The Wick part to me is still very strange. Because then I wonder, okay, is Wick also getting out his 2% or whatever small part it is because he needs to be liquid to go do the tequila thing and do the show thing? Like, are both of these things true? They can both be true. And he goes, okay, like, I'm not going to have much say in this anyway because my dad's shares are going to be off to the highest bidder. So I'm going to get out too, and it's going to be this process over a couple years. I don't know. It's strange that it's like, I still don't get the part where he's supposed to be the governor going forward, because I think that with them saying it's 2028, like, to me, that just sounds like it's something that's totally made up.
Yeah.
Unless it's they're just handing it over to Pat.
It's like Cuban still gets to run basketball ops. Like, that's a nice thing to say in a statement. But the second the actual people running the organization, the owners of the organization, the Adelson estate, right? Miriam Adelson, I think her name is. The second they disagree with Cuban, or Cuban wants to spend money and they don't, guess who runs basketball ops? Not him. So Wick could stay on as a figurehead, but, like, he won't have any calls.
It doesn't look like...
Although he's mostly been a figurehead for his father, it sounds like.
It doesn't look like Wick is draining the bank to go make a TV show and run a tequila company. I'll say that. Like, it sounds like it's something that's more out of his control. It's the family trust doing what they have planned to do with their eventual exit. And they're getting out while the getting's good. And maybe Wick looks at that and goes, you know what? It makes sense for me market-wise, too. And so this is all pre-planned. If they hand it over to Pags, then maybe that stays in place. if it goes to a bidding process and Saudis can get involved and casino magnates can get involved, then I think anything's possible. Maybe Wick's here for like another season.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't think Wick's going to be here much longer. You know, he'll be here through the sale, but that's it. And then who knows what he's doing? Good point, by the way, the Twitch chat. I think it was John in the car. It scrolled by quickly. But John in the car, I believe, wrote that Shaughnessy did more reporting than the entire Boston media while recovering from a heart attack on the 4th of July weekend. It's true. I mean, great reporting from Shaughnessy here. These are the most details that we've seen. He says, this leads us to Paliuka. Again, picking up with Shaughnessy in the Globe late last week, Friday. Often identified as co-owner of the Celtics, Pags made his money at Bain Capital, has been Wick Grosbeck's wingman since the group bought the team. Pags is the one who had the idea to hire Danny Ainge. Is that well known? Is that like well known and well publicized? I was unaware of that.
Me too.
But maybe that was a well known thing. He wound up being the genius, wound up being the genius to acquire Kevin Garnett, Ray Allen, Rajon Rondo, then Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Brad Stevens, and Joe Mazzulla. This is where Shaughnessy goes a little too far for my taste. Like, I know he's tight with Danny, but like, let's not go too far with Ainge. Many fans want Paliuka to emerge as the next majority owner of the team. And Pags made his intentions clear the day the sale was announced, issuing the statement. We've read this before. Being a co-investor and managing partner of the Celtics has been a great honor and a labor of love. I hope to be a part of the Celtics moving forward and will be a proud participant in the bidding process. There it is again, Mego. That has been announced today. It certainly sounds like Pags means business. According to The Athletic, Paliuka bought up an 8% stake in the team from a Celtics minority investor in 2020. He's also the most hoop-savvy member of the group, having played freshman ball at Duke. Wow.
Ooh.
How about that?
Okay, what does that mean? Freshman ball at Duke? There's no freshman team at Duke.
Yeah, it probably means some sort of
season?
Yeah, club basketball, like just a step above intramural basketball. Like, I'm not quite sure what that means, to be honest.
I played a lot of basketball, too.
Right.
Flex about
now,
that.
Now, look, when was Paliuka at Duke? Like, what era was this? Like, maybe there were freshman teams back then? I have no idea, but I'm still not impressed. I can tell you right now, I'm still not impressed. When I texted him for comment on Thursday, Paliuka texted back, I'm under NDA at this point, so I can't talk. Sorry. So this is the same guy who just put out a statement that he's going to be in the bidding process, now says he's under NDA. And I heard Shaughnessy make this point on TV last night. Interesting. The NDA is the one thing that makes me think a sale is already locked up. But I just think if you're really trying to get your affairs in order and cash in this ticket, which Irv Grosbeck is trying to do, it sounds like, and maybe Wick is trying to do, why are you just going to hand it over to Pags when you could open up the bidding process and really, really take care of yourself going forward? Like, obviously, you don't care that much about the Celtics. I'm sorry, you just don't. You don't. And whether I'm talking to Irv or Wick, you just don't care that much at the end of the day. And so you don't care that the Celtics are put in the best hands. You just want to make the most money. That's fine. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. I don't think Paliuka's a realistic guy to take over this team. I don't.
I would love for it to happen, but how do you get to the point where you can own a huge share in a team like the Celtics anyway? You don't get it by just giving things to your friends and saying, like, here, I'm kind of tired of managing this. You take this over. Yeah, I think you'll do a good job with it. Like, that's just not how owners are built.
Nope.
Unless it's their kids, and this is not the kids. Unless it's someone giving it to their kid or just leaving in the will to the kid, which
Irv apparently won't do. He refuses to do that with Wick.
Yeah, so what makes you think that they're just going to turn and give it to Pags? I mean, maybe it's possible.
It's
maybe
it's already
happening.
He won't give it to his kid. They're not going to turn and give it to Pags. I see what you're saying. I'm sorry. Yeah, he's not just going to turn around and do it. They're trying to make a buck. And so that's fine. That's 1,000% okay. But it's bad news for Pags, and it's bad news for Celtics fans who want to keep this thing as similar to the structure as it was set up. Now, maybe you end up with Bezos, or you end up with Steve Cohen or somebody, Larry Ellison, just limitless billions and billions and billions of dollars, and that's actually better. I mean, you could end up in a better spot. But if you want status quo, that's bad news.
Yeah, but then you could still have another kind of issue. I mean, we all act like the only thing that matters because of what we're watching with the Red Sox and the Patriots right now, that if you have a super rich person, then that'll solve everything. You could have a super rich person who thinks that they run a basketball team and turns into an incredible meddler.
You could. No, you absolutely could. And that's why the unknown is scary for a lot of people. Let's go. Paul in Rhode Island's waiting patiently on our Red Sox convo. It ties in with Henry and the interest here. Go ahead, Paul.
Hi, Mago. Hi, Radical Jones. Thank you for taking my call.
Of course.
Sure.
Let's be simple, okay? I think the best guy to buy the Boston Celtics is Henry.
Okay, why is that? That sounds like a terrible
plan. Yes. Hockey team. He has a baseball team. He has the Celtics. He has Liverpool.
Well, not yet.
There's no way. You need cash. You need a cash base in the background to buy teams. You just can't buy a team. You need cash behind all that. The other thing I wanted to say to you is this. There's no way that any outsider is going to own a Boston sports team.
Okay, well, that's, I mean, the guy you want is an outsider in John Henry. Jeremy Jacobs is an outsider. And so I don't see why that wouldn't be the case. I mean, Henry may have an interest in the Celtics. I didn't hear any reason there why, other than he has a lot of money. I didn't hear any reason why that would be a good thing for the Celtics, but we know the Fenway Sports Group wants an NBA team. We do know that. Do they want the Celtics? Does John Henry want to stay in this market?
Yeah, like, does he want to double dip in Boston with all the people who think he's a giant a-hole and hate him?
Or is he like, screw them, I'm going to just buy an expansion team in Vegas, and I'm just going to deal with that fan base who will be grateful that I brought basketball to the desert as opposed to people in Boston who already hate me. 617-779-7937. You could jump in on this. All the reporting from Dan Shaughnessy. A lot of good stuff there. We'll get to the Bruins as well. Jeremy Swayman and the Bees avoided arbitration, which seems like a good thing. So what's taking so long? We'll get to it next.
Jones and Mego.
I never said I could take on a hippo.
No, in fairness, you did.
With Arcand.
You ever see a hippo eat a watermelon? It's amazing.
On Boston Sports Original.
I wonder what Arcand just does with his time.
I watch hippos eating watermelons.
WEEI.
Sway's a big part of this whole dynamic of what we were trying to put together. You know, it's a priority for us. We're going to continue to find a negotiated landing spot. And, you know, the timing is what it is, you know, however long that takes. It's not impacted by what we did today. We're in a great spot to find, as I said, the best negotiated deal we can find for both sides.
Don Sweeney last week, after signing Elias Lindholm and Nikita Zadorov, no real detail or info on Jeremy Swayman. It's Jones and Mego. No Arcand today here on WEEI. It's the vote in our big question of the day. Up now at Jones and Mego. How far can the Red Sox go this year? World Series, ALCS, ALDS, wild card, or they're going nowhere. You can vote. We'll get back into that at the top of the 4 o'clock hour. You can also jump in on the next owner of the Boston Celtics. What's driving the sale of the Boston Celtics? And is Pags really in the bidding process? Because Shaughnessy had a lot of good detail on that over the weekend. But the Bruins and Jeremy Swayman are not going to arbitration. Both sides declined to go to arbitration. So
yay!
Swayman could have taken them. The team could have taken him, as Don Sweeney pointed out in the immediate aftermath of the season. Oh, by the way, I mean, don't forget, Jeremy Swayman took us to arbitration. We didn't take him. He took us, which I just think is semantics.
He's
you're playing
games. He's
such a bully. Right. So here's the thing. How do we read that they're not going to arbitration? I have to read that as a good thing. Arbitration would be contentious and ugly, and it's a one-year deal, and you're driving the player away. The fact they agreed to avoid arbitration and keep negotiating, I think, and maybe I'm giving the Bruins too much credit, Jeremy Jacobs, Don Sweeney, the whole outfit, but it seems to me like that's better than electing to go to arbitration, and now we're haggling over a one-year deal, and maybe Swayman's gone in a year.
To me, it shows that they're negotiating in good faith, that they both want to come to an agreement, and this is total speculation, but they feel like they're close enough that they don't have to go there again. They've been there before. As you said, it's contentious, it's confrontational, it's an ugly process, so they can figure it out on their own, and they still have the money to give him. Like, they're still sitting there with a reasonable amount of money. What do they have, like $9.5 million
I think it's
left?
I think it's more than that. Let me double check. I think it's more.
Okay. I thought I was reading The Athletic. I thought I read 9.5 Maybe it's 10 plus.
Well, so look, what I see the Bruins have is, no, you're right, 9.35 is what they have in
okay.
cap space.
Yeah, so they still have a reasonable amount that they can throw at him. They're not allocating it to anyone else actively that we can see right now. So it seems like it's all moving in the right direction. Maybe there was a little bit of a standstill over the holiday. Otherwise, what are they haggling over? Like, at this point, is it the difference between saying, like, 7.7 and 8.1.
I don't think it's AAV. I think it's bonus structure. You know, like, I think a big motivation for trading Ullmark by July 1st was the bonus that he was due on July 1st. So I think it's bonus structure or, you know, regardless of the cap hit, like an $8 million AAV against the cap doesn't mean that's how they're paying it out. And so maybe they're pushing money down the line so that in 4 years they can trade Swayman and the contract is somebody else's problem. Or maybe they front load it. I don't know how they would want to set it up. But my guess is they're not haggling over AAV. We all know what the end point is. $7.5-8 million, right? Maybe it's a little north of eight. We all know what the end point is. So maybe it's no movement. Maybe it's bonus structure. Maybe it's just the way, like the cash flow for Jacobs, how they pay it out. My guess is that's what they're haggling over, and they got to figure that out. And the fact they avoided arbitration is a good sign. But again, maybe I'm just giving them way too much credit.
I think that there may be a little bit more to the AAV than you're saying, because I could see them holding up his rotation, or I guess mostly rotation during the regular season over the last couple of seasons, and his limited experience as a playoff starter to say, we're going to hold back X compared to the other guys around the league because you've really just graduated to starter. And so we can't pay you as a full starter because of the experience just hasn't been there all along. You've been part of a tandem. So while we really appreciate you and we've chosen you, look, we sent Ullmark out and we've chosen you. And now you have a real just straight up backup behind you. At the same time, I could see them. I don't think the AAV, like that they're in the same league, is necessarily a given.
Interesting. So you think the Bruins could be saying, we'll pay you six and a half, but we're not going
to
pay you.
Which would be insulting
to
Swayman.
But then if that's what they're saying, why wouldn't Swayman just go, screw it, I'm going to arbitration, and I'll be a free agent in a year and F you.
Well, maybe it's not that stark, but maybe it's the difference between, I don't know, 6'8", 6'9", and being in the upper sevens. I mean, that's real money, you know? That's like not nothing.
No, it is. I agree it is. I just, if Swayman felt like he was getting lowballed, and like it's not just some of this other stuff that I think is easy to get past. They'll be, oh, you don't get a 15 team no movement clause. We just went through this with Ullmark. You get 10 or whatever. You'll get 15 teams, but it's in 5 years. Like all that sort of stuff. I feel like they're figuring out once they've come close on AAV in years and everything else.
Yeah, I just wouldn't give them the benefit of the doubt. That they're even like past.
But the reason I do, and normally I wouldn't, but the reason I do, like Swayman could have taken them to arbitration, and now he's not. And so, what's his recourse now? Like his recourse now is like holdout, right? Mm-hmm. Like he's not gonna go to some arbitrator who's gonna get either side with him or side with the team. The recourse now is a holdout, I think. And so I don't really know what his leverage point is anymore. And I think to give up his leverage point,
well, in arbitration, his leverage point is that he's the only guy. I mean, what are you gonna do? Like he's the only guy. You sent out the other guy. To me, the Bruins have no leverage. It's basically they're just in a stare down.
I don't disagree with you on that, but I do think if they're not giving you the number, then you say, "Fine, I'm taking you to arbitration. I'll be a free agent in a year.
Yeah.
Like I will leave. So good luck. I'm gone."
Well, I would guess that he thinks that they're bluffing because he saw them send Ullmark out. And so he goes, I've been through this with you before. I've seen what it's like when you're going to take me to arbitration. And if I can squeeze, you know, another 0.5 out of you, then it's worth it for me to sit here for 3 weeks and just, you know,
this is why
play my Game Boy.
This is why they screwed themselves by taking him to arbitration last year, is because you could have worked out an extension with them last year. And they were very tight to the cap, and I get that. But you could have worked out an extension with them last year and you wouldn't be in this spot. And you could have moved on from Ullmark last year and you wouldn't be in this spot. But here they are. And
I'm sure it's also his agent sitting there saying, like, they've got over $9 million sitting there. Don't take 6.8.
Yeah. And by the way, the number I just looked up, they have more. I'm looking at Bruins cap space on Twitter. They're budgeting in like $1 million for a third line player. And so, you know, if the Bruins spend $2 million on a third line player, or they bring in some guy who can fit into the top six who's making two and change, they can look at it and go, look, we don't have the money. And if I'm Swayman, I go, tough, trade somebody. Trade somebody, and I'll hold out until then. But if it gets there, look out. 617-779-7937. It would be weird to pay out all this money to Lindholm and to Zadorov and then say we're not going to pay Swayman. Like, they feel so far down this road, I'm giving them some benefit of the doubt. But maybe I shouldn't. Again, you can jump in on this. We'll get back to our big question of the day. The Red Sox, their weekend. What do they do with the trade deadline and John Henry's interest level in the team? That's all next.
Jones and Mego.
I never said I could take on a hippo.
No, in fairness, you did.
With Arcand.
You ever see a hippo eat a watermelon? It's amazing.
On Boston Sports Original.
I wonder what Arcand just does with his time.
I watch hippos eating watermelons.
WEEI.
Sway's a big part of this whole dynamic of what we were trying to put together. You know, it's a priority for us. We're going to continue to find a negotiated landing spot. And, you know, the timing is what it is, you know, however long that takes. It's not impacted by what we did today. We're in a great spot to find, as I said, the best negotiated deal we can find for both sides.
Don Sweeney last week, after signing Elias Lindholm and Nikita Zadorov, no real detail or info on Jeremy Swayman. It's Jones and Mego. No Arcand today here on WEEI. You can still vote in our big question of the day. Up now at Jones and Mego. How far can the Red Sox go this year? World Series, ALCS, ALDS, wild card, or they're going nowhere. You can vote. We'll get back into that at the top of the 4 o'clock hour. You can also jump in on the next owner of the Boston Celtics. What's driving the sale of the Boston Celtics? And is Pags really in the bidding process? Because Shaughnessy had a lot of good detail on that over the weekend. But the Bruins and Jeremy Swayman are not going to arbitration. Both sides declined to go to arbitration. So
yay!
Swayman could have taken them. The team could have taken him, as Don Sweeney pointed out in the immediate aftermath of the season. Oh, by the way, I mean, don't forget, Jeremy Swayman took us to arbitration. We didn't take him. He took us, which I just think is semantics.
He's
and you're
such
playing
a bully.
Games. Right. So here's the thing. How do we read that they're not going to arbitration? I have to read that as a good thing. Arbitration would be contentious and ugly, and it's a one-year deal, and you're driving the player away. The fact they agreed to avoid arbitration and keep negotiating, I think, and maybe I'm giving the Bruins too much credit, Jeremy Jacobs, Don Sweeney, the whole outfit. But it seems to me like that's better than electing to go to arbitration, and now we're haggling over a one-year deal, and maybe Swayman's gone in a year.
To me, it shows that they're negotiating in good faith, that they both want to come to an agreement, and this is total speculation, but they feel like they're close enough that they don't have to go there again. They've been there before. As you said, it's contentious, it's confrontational, it's an ugly process, so they can figure it out on their own, and they still have the money to give him. Like, they're still sitting there with a reasonable amount of money. What do they have, like $9.5 million
left? I think it's more than that. Let me double check. I think it's more.
Okay. I thought I was reading The Athletic. I thought I read 9.5. Maybe it's 10 plus.
Well, so look, what I see the Bruins have is, no, you're right, 9.35 is what they have in cap space.
Yeah, so they still have a reasonable amount that they can throw at him. They're not allocating it to anyone else actively that we can see right now. So it seems like it's all moving in the right direction. Maybe there was a little bit of a standstill over the holiday. Otherwise, what are they haggling over? Like, at this point, is it the difference between saying, like, 7.7 and 8.1?
I don't think it's AAV. I think it's bonus structure. You know, like, I think a big motivation for trading Ullmark by July 1st was the bonus that he was due on July 1st. So I think it's bonus structure, or, you know, regardless of the cap hit, like an $8 million AAV against the cap doesn't mean that's how they're paying it out. And so maybe they're pushing money down the line so that in 4 years they can trade Swayman and the contract is somebody else's problem. Or maybe they front load it. I don't know how they would want to set it up. But my guess is they're not haggling over AAV. We all know what the end point is. $7.5-8 million, right? Maybe it's a little north of eight. We all know what the end point is. So maybe it's no movement. Maybe it's bonus structure. Maybe it's just the way, like the cash flow for Jacobs, how they pay it out. My guess is that's what they're haggling over, and they got to figure that out, and the fact they avoided arbitration is a good sign. But again, maybe I'm just giving them way too much credit.
I think that there may be a little bit more to the AAV than you're saying, because I could see them holding up his rotation, or I guess mostly rotation during the regular season over the last couple of seasons, and his limited experience as a playoff starter, to say, we're going to hold back X compared to the other guys around the league because you've really just graduated to starter. And so we can't pay you as a full starter because the experience just hasn't been there all along. You've been part of a tandem. So while we really appreciate you and we've chosen you, look, we sent Ullmark out and we've chosen you, and now you have a real just straight up backup behind you. At the same time, I could see them. I don't think the AAV, like, that they're in the same league is necessarily a given.
Interesting. So you think the Bruins could be saying, we'll pay you six and a half, but we're not going
to
pay you.
Which would be insulting.
Yeah, it would
be. Swayman.
But then if that's what they're saying, why wouldn't Swayman just go, screw it, I'm going to arbitration and I'll be a free agent in a year and F you?
Well, maybe it's not that stark, but maybe it's the difference between, I don't know, 6'8", 6'9", and being in the upper sevens. I mean, that's real money. You know, that's like not nothing.
No, it is. I agree it is. I just, if Swayman felt like he was getting lowballed, and like it's not just some of this other stuff that I think is easy to get past. You don't get a 15-team no movement clause. We just went through this with Allmark. You get 10 or whatever. You'll get 15 teams, but it's in 5 years. Like all that sort of stuff. I feel like they're figuring out once they've come close on AAV in years and everything else.
I just wouldn't give them the benefit of the doubt. That they're even like past.
But the reason I do, and normally I wouldn't, but the reason I do, like Swayman could have taken them to arbitration, and now he's not. And so, what's his recourse now? Like his recourse now is like holdout, right? Mm-hmm. Like he's not gonna go to some arbitrator who's gonna get either side with him or side with the team. The recourse now is a holdout, I think. And so I don't really know what his leverage point is anymore. And I think to give up his leverage point,
well, his leverage point is that he's the only guy. I mean, what are you gonna do? Like he's the only guy. You sent out the other guy. To me, the Bruins have no leverage. It's basically they're just in a stare down.
I don't disagree with you on that, but I do think if they're not giving you the number, then you say, "Fine, I'm taking you to arbitration. I'll be a free agent in a year.
Yeah.
Like I will leave. So good luck. I'm gone."
Well, I would guess that he thinks that they're bluffing because he saw them send Omar out. And so he goes, I've been through this with you before. I've seen what it's like when you're going to take me to arbitration. And if I can squeeze, you know, another 0.5 out of you, then it's worth it for me to sit here for 3 weeks and just, you know,
this is why
play my Game Boy.
This is why they screwed themselves by taking him to arbitration last year, is because you could have worked out an extension with them last year. And they were very tight to the cap. And I get that. But you could have worked out an extension with them last year and you wouldn't be in this spot. And you could have moved on from Allmark last year, and you wouldn't be in this spot. But here they are. And
I'm sure it's also his agent sitting there saying, like, they've got over $9 million sitting there. Don't take 6.8.
Yeah, and by the way, the number I just looked up, they have more. I'm looking at Bruins cap space on Twitter. They're budgeting in, like, $1 million for a third-line player. And so, you know, if the Bruins spend $2 million on a third-line player, or they bring in some guy who can fit into the top six who's making two and change, they can look at it and go, look, we don't have the money. And if I'm Swayman, I go, tough, trade somebody. Trade somebody, and I'll hold out until then. But if it gets there, look out. 617-779-7937. It would be weird to pay out all this money to Lindholm and to Zadorov and then say we're not going to pay Swayman. Like, they feel so far down this road, I'm giving them some benefit of the doubt. But maybe I shouldn't. Again, you can jump in on this. We'll get back to our big question of the day. The Red Sox, their weekend. What do they do with the trade deadline and John Henry's interest level in the team? That's all next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, oh, oh. O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.